2 days ago on Friday, our Pope Francis had a lot to say about mercy on two separate occasions. Number one, he announced that the next liturgical year, beginning this fall, would be what he calls a Jubilee of Mercy, where Catholics throughout the whole world would celebrate God's mercy. He also said in a penance service Friday this, "No one can be excluded from the mercy of God." No one can be excluded from the mercy of God. But what does he mean? In a secular world where mercy is often misunderstood, and in a church where people tend to champion their own causes and assign them to the Pope, what does it mean for, say, the divorced and remarried? Should they receive communion? Is that mercy? What about homosexual couples? Should they be allowed to receive the sacraments or be married in the church? Is that mercy? What about couples living together and fornicating but want Catholic education for their children? Should we let them into the school even though their parents aren't living what they want for their children? Is that mercy? We hear about mercy in our second reading today, but what is it? Well, first of all, I can tell you what it is not. Author Donald DeMarco recently wrote in the National Catholic Register that, quote, "the world is trying to absorb the Catholic Church into itself." And that's one of the core problems with mercy, is that the world wants to take things from the Catholic Church and marry them with what is purely secular, call it Catholicism, and get you to buy into it. We see an example of this in our first reading. It says that they were polluting the temple by bringing secular practices into their church. Now, when they say polluting the temple, it's not because they went and dumped a bunch of trash in it or they had a sewer backup, okay? When they say polluting the temple, what they mean is they were bringing a lot of the cultural practices around to them into their Judaism. Right? They were bringing a lot of the secular things around them that weren't so good into the practice of their faith. It could be things like cussing or pornography or, the marriage situations in our society, divorce. And that becomes part of the church too. We still deal with this problem today, don't we? And we're dealing with it right now in the church in regards to civil unions and communion for the divorced and remarried and issues of fornication. So is mercy letting that stuff in? Or at least letting those people in? Well, on some level, yes, right? We're all sinners. God invites all to come to his altar. But where do we draw the line? Archbishop Harald Ludwig Müller, he's from Germany, he's the prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, said this, "God's mercy does not dispense us from following his commandments or the rules of the church." C.S. Lewis said this, "Mercy will flower only when it grows in the crannies of the rock of justice." You see, both these quotes teach us that mercy is not mercy unless it has a reference to justice. In fact, it's not mercy at all. It is mercy's counterfeit when it contradicts justice. St. Thomas Aquinas remarked that mercy, quote, "does not destroy justice, but is a certain kind of fulfillment of justice. Mercy without justice is the mother of dissolution, whereas justice without mercy is cruelty." And brothers and sisters, I think that's the core of the issue when it comes to mercy. That you have people who end up on two sides of it. People who want justice without mercy. They want the right. They want everything to be right, but they're not willing to show mercy in the process. And then on the other side of the issue, you have people that want to show mercy, but without any reference to justice or what is right. And I think people attack the Catholic Church because they perceive us being in error one way or the other. People who are more liberal in the church tend to want to let people in, right? They want to show mercy without any reference to justice or what is right. Like maybe we need to be more lenient about what is right and let more people in. But then you have the people who are conservative, and they're in errors too sometimes, because they say, well, let's show justice, but with no reference to mercy. They say, these things aren't right, let's get rid of it, without ever getting to know the people that that affects. Both of these errors are wrong. So what is mercy in a positive sense? We see this revealed in our second reading today, as St. Paul talks about it, and he talks about it in three terms. Number one, gift. Mercy is a gift. He says you can't work for it. Now, we can cooperate with it, and our works can be a sign that that mercy is active in us, but it's not something we earn, something we receive, and something we cooperate with. And it should not be presumed. Parents, when you give presents to your children, maybe at Christmas or at on their birthday, this is true for grandparents too, maybe even more so, and they take that toy or that gift and they misuse it, how does that make you feel? I know with my nieces and nephews, I kind of get nervous if I, like my nephew, I bought him a, you know, most of you know I have a remote control car, you know, a really fast one too. And my nephews really like it, so I bought all my nephews remote control cars, right? And these things are like, they're like $250 a piece. So I'm a little nervous about giving this to like a 7-year-old, you know? And you get nervous, why? Because you don't know if they're going to misuse it, right? You don't know if they're going to take the gift and misuse it. You see, at its core, mercy is an act of stewardship. God is giving it to us, assuming that we're going to use it properly. But one error that often happens is we actually presume on God's mercy. Presumption is when we do something, some evil, thinking, you know what, God will just forgive me. And the sad part about that is He will forgive you. Why do I say sad? Because what we do when we presume is we actually throw God's mercy in His face and say, you keep your mercy, I'm going to do what I want to, and I'll get to your mercy later. Because I don't want your justice right now, but I will want your mercy later. That's presumption. And one of the biggest difficulties in the church right now. Mercy is a gift. And we must be active recipients of it, but also its justice. Secondly, mercy is love. And love, at its core, is based on truth and good. And this is another difficulty in our common times, our current times. And let me give you a few examples. Why isn't it love when a married man runs off with his secretary, leaving his wife behind? Why isn't that love? He may even say he's in love with her, right? He may have a horrible relationship with his wife and have a great relationship with this secretary, at least until he runs off with her. Why is that not love? Because it doesn't have the character of truth. He stood before the altar of God one day and promised his wife that he would be true to her in good times and in bad. And the reason we hate that guy for what he did is because he's being untruthful. The reason why we say it can't be love is because it is not truthful. Why isn't it love when two men or two women who care for each other want to live in a relationship equivalent to marriage? Well, again, it doesn't have the quality of being true. It's not true to the being which God gave us as men and women, one which He stamped right into our bodies to make it very obvious to us that we are oriented towards one another. Love is also based on freedom. You know, the first question we ask a couple when they stand before the altar in marriage, the very first question we ask before we even begin the vows is, have you come here freely? And you know, I have to wonder, especially when we're dealing with so many couples these days who are already living together or already have a sexual relationship, do they really come here freely? Because even our modern science proves that the sexual relationship between a man and a woman bond them emotionally and chemically, physically, spiritually. And so can they really say that they're coming here freely, or do they already have this kind of chemical dependency on one another? Now, that chemical dependency on one another is a good thing. God created that. It's like the super glue of marriage because it keeps you together, keeps you coming back to the same person. But when it's used before marriage, it takes away your freedom. And why do we end up with so many people divorced today? And why is there a correlation between people who live together and sleep together before marriage and divorce? A 2x correlation. They are twice as likely to get divorced because of that issue right there. And so we have to work very hard to see, you know, when we're doing marriage preparation, are they really free? Are they really coming here freely? And boy, it's hard to tell. Mercy is love, but love is based on truth and good and freedom. Lastly, mercy is kindness. Says this in our second reading. Let me ask you this. Is it kind to watch something evil happen and not do anything about it if you could? You know, in the last couple years, they've come up in many states with what are called Good Samaritan laws. Some of you have heard this in the news. A Good Samaritan law is when you as a bystander could do something about it and you don't. So like, let's say I see somebody get hit by a car out here on Maple and I don't call 911. I'm just like, I don't have time for them. I'm liable on some level for that, right? If you stood by and watched somebody get killed and you could do something about and did not, you would be liable for it. Brothers and sisters, it's not just part of our Christianity, it's part of our humanness. That we don't stand by and watch others do evil. It is unjust. It is not merciful. It is not kind. So is it kindness and mercy if we stand by and say, you know what, it's okay for you to live as a man even though you are clearly a woman, but if it makes you feel better, I want to be kind to you. Is that really kindness? Is it kindness to say, it's okay to sleep with someone even though you're not married to them, even though you say you really love them, when even both the scriptures and the secular statistics tell you it's a bad idea, is that kindness? Is it okay for a divorced and remarried person who has not reconciled their marriage with the church to take communion when Jesus clearly says that if you divorce one and marry another, you have committed adultery? You are living in adultery. Is that kindness to say, yeah, come on down? Now, at the same time, brothers and sisters, just as much as we as Christians and as Catholics must uphold justice, we must also uphold mercy, right? The two must always go together. We must be truly kind to people. That is, we don't go around making jokes about homosexuals. We don't go around bashing people that are sinners just as much as we are. God really touched my heart over the last couple years when I got a letter in the mail out of the blue from a young woman down in the South. She was a girl who went to school here years ago. And she wrote me because she had such fond memories of the school, and she reached out to me just wanting, she even said in her letter, she didn't know, quite know why she was writing, but because she felt God calling her to do so. And we've been corresponding back and forth for the last couple years. And during this correspondence, I find out that she's living down south with her partner, her female partner, in a same-sex relationship. Now, I could have written back right away and said, you know what, I really don't support what you're doing. Thank you for your letter, but I'm not comfortable, you know, corresponding with you. But I didn't feel that way. If we're going to be Christians who really believe in justice and mercy, you have to get to know the person, right? It doesn't mean in any way that I support their lifestyle. But I began to write her back and just get to know her. You know, what? How'd you grow up? And tell me about your family. And tell me about this lady that you're living with and how that came about. And you know, I can honestly say after a couple years of corresponding with this person, I really do care for them. And really caring for somebody when they're living in a way that is contrary to the gospel allows me then to minister to them. And when they know that I've actually cared about their person instead of their sexual identity, they really feel love. They really feel kindness. I read a great article this past week, and we're posting it on our website today. It's called, I Am Not Gay, I Am David. That's the title of the article. And it's by a young man who identifies himself with a same-sex attraction. But he points out in his article, and he does it in a very beautiful way, that, you know, people with the same-sex attraction cannot be reduced to their sexual identity. That isn't all of who they are. They're a whole person. And brothers and sisters, when we deal with these issues in the church of, you know, gay marriage and same-sex unions and homosexuality, are we loving the person that God created? That's kindness. That's love. You know, a lot of people attack the church in our modern time over these modern issues because they say that we're not being merciful. And I think there's two reasons that people attack our church. One is valid. They're right about one of them. They're not right about the other. Number one, we can say very hurtful things and we can speak the truth without love and we can want justice without mercy. Is that you? Are you the person who wants justice without mercy? But at the same time, we must uphold the truth and we want mercy, a mercy that is compatible with justice. And I think many times what you hear in the media and what you hear from people out in the secular culture is they criticize the church for not being merciful when really what the church wants is a mercy compatible with justice. Can you articulate that to them? Can you explain to the people that you work with and to your friends and family that you want mercy, certainly, but one that has reference to what is true and good and right and holy? You know, I shared with you at the beginning of this homily a quote from Pope Francis, that we should not exclude anyone from God's mercy, right? I want to read for you the whole quote to put it in context. No one can be excluded from the mercy of God. Everyone knows the way to access it, and the church is the house that welcomes all, and no one refuses. No one can be excluded from the mercy of God. You see, the church is the place where we find that mercy, and it does have to be accessed. Do you know where the word mercy comes from? Comes from the Latin word misericordiae, which is composed of two words, miserium, which means sorrow, and cordial, meaning from the heart. Sorrow from the heart. You see, guys, mercy isn't just saying, you know, we're not only going to let in all the sinners, which certainly we should do because we're all sinners. But mercy isn't putting our rubber stamp on every disordered thing in society. It isn't polluting the temple. But it is showing kindness and love that brings about sorrow for one's sin so that one can come to the church, express that sorrow, and live in freedom. And whether that be something controversial like the issues I've mentioned today, or things like anger, resentment, or jealousy, mercy is based on truth and justice, is not only an invitation given to us all, but no matter what your sin, brothers and sisters, mercy is what we all need.